Top of the room.
Here you go.
Okay, I just wanted to begin by tying together the end of our previous discussion. We were discussing Rav Chaim's Chiddush in Shtaros. So, if we ask ourselves whether Shtaros are just regular Eidus that happens to be written, or what is a new type of Chatzishal Eidus? We started with the discussion of Kamishan Echer Yusuf of Bezdin Dami, right? Rish Lakish says you don't have to worry about a psul. Why don't you have to worry about a psul? Obviously, in a regular Eidus, you very much do have to worry about a psul. So,
and we just ask ourselves about how about Eidin HaFasunin Al Hashtar Kimi Shenechra. And do some of this as it's used in our sukkah, meaning mida araisa, we're not koshish, don't give me the kind of drabbat. Mida araisa, we're not koshish for zina. So why is this? So that's basically the question. Are you going to say this is just an umdana? Meaning it's the same as we use anything else. If we have an umdana, we think something's true, then we go with it, not because of any particular chiddush, right? Which the pshat, lashon of Rashi and Tosfos might lead you to. Oh, we just know that people don't have the chutzpah to be mezayif, people are afraid of getting caught, etc. And this definitely comes out of the pshat of the Rashi and the Rashban and the Tosfos, etc. Or do you say, and this is really Rav Chaim's main chiddush, Pnei Yeshua also, Pnei Yeshua did not say it. Pnei Yeshua tried to find a pasuk for it without trying to get into the lumbus. And Rav Chaim tried to get a lumbus without caring whether there was a pasuk for it. Very characteristic. But put them both together. No, this is a, this is really a Xerus HaKasa, right? This is a new din. Right? And this is the shita of the Pnei Yeshua, who says it's part of the Xerus HaKasa of the Manyan V'Yamim Rabbim, that since the Torah says, the Torah the Navi says, you write a shtar to last for a long time, that means that we're not going to question its veracity and Rav Chaim. And what is the nature of this new din? As Rav Chaim says, the shtar is made on its own kashrus. Again, why would the shtar be made on its own kashrus? I would say perhaps two things, right? Why shtar is made that it is kosher, as opposed to normal Eidim who we do not take it being made that they themselves are kosher. And I think this would be true in two senses. Number one, just because since it is not the Eidim speaking like regular Eidus, but creating a new independent Chatzishal Eidus, then it already makes sense. If I and Epi go into Bezdin and testify that Reuben killed Shimon, we're not also able to testify that we ourselves are kosher. Because we are ourselves, and we can't testify about ourselves. But in this case, the Eidim are saying, we signed this, and they're not actually saying what happened, right? Remember, they didn't see what happened. The Eidim are saying, we signed this, and they're creating sort of an independent portable chetz of Eidim called the shtar. So to say that the Eidim can testify the shtar is kosher, or the shtar can testify the Eidim are kosher, is not quite as self-referential, because the shtar becomes an independent entity, and therefore it is not at all crazy to say that it is made on its own kashrus, since the shtar l'chod and eidim l'chod, you know, the eidim originated in the shtar, really you can say, oh, the eidim testified this shtar is kosher, and that's not testifying about themselves. That's testifying about the cheftah shel shtar. In addition, the whole point is, if the whole point of a shtar is that it's a portable eidus which can testify about anything which is implied by holding the shtar, if it can testify about things that the Edom didn't even see, right, like that it was Nimsar, that it wasn't Nifra, things we spoke about last year, then it's not unreasonable to assume once this is a chiddush of a cheftishal eidus that testifies about things the Edom didn't see, it also testifies about whatever is necessary to make it a kosher eidus. Basically, through Das and Mishayim, you create a kosher eidus. This kosher eidus testifies whatever is necessary to make it an eidus. That includes its own kashrut. Obviously, the biggest chiddush to say that it testifies on its own kashrut, because that becomes somewhat circular. You know, once you get started, Mela can testify that you didn't pay back. Okay, that's a bigger chiddush, or Chaim is sort of adding a chiddush, but nonetheless, if the Torah did want to create a hefter shel edus, that hefter shel edus is only valid if it there's some way to prove that it is correct. You can't be dorish v'choker the edim because they're not here, they might have died, etc. And therefore it testifies its own kashrus. What are some nafkaminas as to whether this is a regular rule of umdana or part of a unique chiddush? So, just we suggested some nafkaminas of this are, number one, the scope. For example, if it is regular edus, then perhaps only against ziyuf. Yeah, ziyuf, we have a certain umdana that people aren't mezayif. Why? Because they don't have the chutz to be mezayif, probably because Matoso says, because they know they'll be caught eventually, because it's there and can be compared, and eventually someone's going to put two and two together. If you said it's a chiddush of shar, then adrama, ziyuf is the biggest chiddush, everything else is an easier chiddush. If it testifies that it's not forged, kol shekein, if we know that it's not forged, it testifies there are other technical psulim, and then we would say, no, that perhaps, or I would say perhaps, but certainly, this would testify against all psulim. Right? Theoretically, even if it was an umdah, you could say we have an umdah of this psulim, an umdah of that psulim, an umdah of that psulim, as the Ritva says. People are careful not to do sheker v'shtar. You have to say they're careful not to make mistakes b'shtar, they're careful not to have technical problems b'shtar. You could expand the umdah, right, or perhaps, but it makes more sense that if it's an umdah, it would be restricted to certain things that we're sure people wouldn't do. We're not sure people would do everything wrong. People make mistakes. But if it is the shtar testifying as its own correctness, then, I would say probably, we would assume that it will testify against all psula. And we did find that shita, right? We found that shita in many places, the Shut Ramban, quoting the Reina Hanano, said clearly the star testifies that no psulim occurred to it, and quotes, doesn't say, because I happen to think this still doesn't apply, no quotes are shlokish. Idom psulim sakh mishnech, who's invested, what else did I put on them? Of course, the Tosos later on, I think enough yuchenim and bet, and one could add other, makoros certainly as well, and the Shut Ramban, who say, no, we assume there are no psulim in the star. Would they be the most technical psulim, the most fundamental psulim, it's not forged? And it's also, we don't assume that if there's a signature of someone's uncle, that uncle signed with the other edim and passed them, and we'll just assume he filled in later to fill in the blank space or to mechabi him. We'll make all kinds of assumptions to make it kosher, which would make sense. An additional issue would be, what about the Gemara on Mesubas Daf, Yud Tes, on the base? What if Shnei Edim Omrim Shnei Edim Psulim? Two Edim testify the Edim on the Shtar Apostle. Again, in the normal rules, we would say if two Edim testify the Apostle, that's very clear. Gemara says on Hedrin, a few places, Reuben and Shimon testify, Levi and Yehuda come and say they're Apostle. We believe Levi and Yehuda. Reuben and Shimon are not allowed to defend themselves. It's 2-0. Yet, the Gemara Ksubas, the Pshat of the Gemara Ksubas, and the Rav makes a big deal of this, and Shimon is able to be brought up. Pshat of the Gemara Ksubas and the Rambam says that it's trey of trey. I read that Gemara to you. How is it trey of trey? Two Edom say they're puzzle, and they themselves say they're correct. Since one can Edom say they're correct, that's against the normal rules of Edos. Yes, the normal rules of Edos, that's against. But if this is a unique Hefter of Shtar that's made on itself, and everything made on everything necessary to be mamed its Edos, then it makes perfect sense. And you would have to say, no, that obviously Edom Ha'achronim are Ne'manim, which is against the Pshat of the Gemara. But don't worry, all the Rishonim there have answers to explain that Gemara wasn't talking about the case you thought it was talking about, Ayin Shon. This would also come in terms of an afkamina of how strongly do we assume it's not Mezuyah? Within not Mezuyah, how about the scope? Which psulim? No, not which psulim, but how about the scope? Which shtaros? Meaning, what about Ksav Yodo? Are we choshish for Ziyaf and Ksav Yodo? Not that Effie's holding a piece of paper that says Bednarsh owes $1 million, signed by Reuben and Shimon. Effie's holding a piece of paper that says Bednarsh owes $1 million, signed by me. I wrote an IOU in my own handwriting, right? Like checks nowadays, right? So that's Neman. That's Ksav Yad is valid. Do we assume me Daraisa? And it doesn't need to be Mekuyim, to be notarized. This, the Ksos quoted, one of the Ksos I put on the course, Amachloksin himself and the Shach. The Shach said, no, there me Daraisa needs to be, the Shlakish doesn't apply. Me Daraisa, if there are two Adim, says the Ksos. No, this, let's just, let me actually write what the issue is. Min HaTorah and Shtar, the Ksav Yodo, the Li Adem, Sarakil. Says the Shach, yes, to Adem, don't need Kiyom Midaraisa, it's only Darabonin. But Ksav Yodo needs Kiyom Minatorah. How do we know it's really his handwriting, his signature? The Kso says to him, that's ridiculous, doesn't make any sense. So it says, what's the reason that we don't need Kiyom Midaraisa? Because no one would have the chutzpah to forge, because they know they'd be caught. Just like no one have the chutzpah to forge two agents, they know they'd be caught. They'd be caught. Kol Shekin, they don't have the chutzpah to forge the Baal Din, because they know they'll be caught. Think about it. I will not forge a piece of paper saying Adam owes me 100,000 shekel with two random Adam on it. So I know someone will eventually see those aren't the signatures of those two random Adam who live in, you know, Iraq. Kol Shekin, I wouldn't forge a piece of paper that he owes me money with his signature on it. Because he's standing right here in Besdin, and everyone knows who he is, and he lived near me, and he's the one I'm dealing with in court. Of course they're going to check his signature and see if it's authentic or not. So he says, it still says Kolshnei, says the Ktos, Kolshnei, the angel of Zarech, he on Mea Torah, the Lo Chatzif, Lizzie Yufi. Okay, but what does the Shach think? Why does the Shach disagree? It so seems to have a very good point. Of course no one would forge the litigant's signature. That's much easier to catch them on than the Edom signatures. Because the litigant's standing here. So, Ora, you could say, like the Shach, that he's here in October. Why? The Shach doesn't say why. But we can answer why. If the reason for Eish Lakish is not because we have such a strong umda to know what forge, because the Chiddush of Shtaros only seven, there are two Adim. Who says the Chiddush of Shtar was seven, the guy signed it himself? When the guy signed himself, it might be evidence, right? After all, if you yourself signed that you owe me 100,000 shekel, that's obviously evidence of something, but that's not the Chiddush of Shtar. That's just evidence, right? The fact that you signed, Hodas Balik the Adim Dami doesn't make a Chiddush of Shtar. I know it's in some ways like me, but it's not Eidos. You know, no, that's not Shtar. That's evidence. When it comes to evidence, we don't have any special Reb Chaims. Evidence, you have to go by evidence, and you need Kiyom. Reb Chaim only applies to Chalo Shtar, and Ksav Yado is not a Chalo Shtar. You could disagree and say it is a Chalo Shtar. It depends what you mean by Hodas Baldik Me Eidim Dami. If you think Hodas Baldik Me Eidim Dami means it's literal Eidos, then Ksav Yado is Shtar. But if you, that doesn't mean literal Eidos, it just means very strong proof. You know, then... this Shach makes a lot. And I think the only way to make sense of the Shach is through Reb Chaim's Kiddush. Right? If we're not talking about practical umdanus, but about a formal Kiddush of Shtar, Ksav Yado is not a Kiddush of Shtar, because that's not Edom. Right? Uksov Basefer Chasom Bahayid Edom, that's a Kiddush of Shtar.
Seems to me the problem with that is the case of Gil. Yet the Sabyad of the Baal is considered kosher with the rice of the whole dignitary. And if it's a deed of shtar, where there's a halosvin shtar.
Okay, but I'll point out, and that won't mean anything to us perhaps till we get to the end of the shiur. Oh, one second. Okay.
And yet is basically the basis.
I understand exactly what you're saying, but keep in mind that according to one day, at least in Rashi, Daf Pei Vav Aleph, that is neither the sheet of Rav Meir nor Rav Elazar. It is a special third sheet of a Tanner who learns a unique Zeris Akasas by Get. So it could be that's not a proof. And even if it is, it could be these other explanations. But at least that's good enough for now.
Surely the Ksos sheet in general is that because of Dabra Dabra Mimama, the Mimama also means Adikiyum. So therefore Hadas Valdin is Eidus according to him.
I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. Okay, but we don't necessarily define ourselves right here. Just continuing some of the other things that were in these Makoros on brackets. So, for example, the Nesivos has a discussion. This is trying to answer Parabla, which we'll get to. Says the Nesivos. What if you can't identify the Edom? Right, what does it say? It says, Reuven ben Dan and Shimon ben Zvulun. And you think it was signed in Haifa, but you can't actually find people by this name in Haifa. Like, you look for them, you can't identify the Edom. Is that also from Mishlakish? Is that Kasher Midaraisa? Says in Asivas, for sure not. For sure it's not Kasher Midaraisa. Why? Because there's no Umdana that he wouldn't forge now. After all, he wouldn't forge the names of identifiable people, because we'll go find those people. Meaning the other party, who has an incentive, will go find those people and see if it's really their signature or not. But if it's unidentified people, then he might very well have forged. He's just a clever forger, right? He made it up. I had a brother who used to do that. Before the internet, when they signed a book report in school, in high school book reports, right? He didn't want to really have to read a book. But he wanted the teacher to know he didn't read a book, so he just made up a book, made up a title, made up an author, and wrote a report over in the book, and there was no way he could be wrong, because how could you know? There was nowadays that wouldn't work, obviously, you Google it, right? But once upon a time, that was brilliant. This is the kind of fellow who they kick out of school because, you never even get anywhere in life with this, but obviously you get very far in life because it shows you how to think in business. He's a big executive. But that's exactly Nassim's point, right? Yeah, nowadays, if you could find the book, the guy wouldn't make up the plot because he knows the teacher can just take the book out, leaf through the pages, and see if it's true. But if we can't find a book by that name, then there's no under that he didn't make it up because he has no incentive not to. And that's exactly the Nesivos. So what about a case where you can't locate the Edom whose signatures appear? So says the Nesivos that it's Tosol Min HaTorah because there's no Umdana anymore. After all, if we can't locate the Edom, there's no Umdana, he didn't forge it. Right? It could be, it's true, and we just can't find the Edom, but it also could very well be that he forged it. If you would say, like Rechaim, though, however, then you could very well say, Nesivos making a finish. I can't tell you orange on the Nesivos because no one else thought of this scenario before the Nesivos. There's not a discussed scenario that he says something about. He's medayik in the Rambam, that the Rambam's talking about such a scenario, which other people don't think any Rishon discuss. But one could very well say, you could say, why? Kasher in the Torah. No, it could be that the Chiddush Shtar still applies, and there's Kasher midaraisa. You don't have an absolute umdun that he wouldn't be medayik, but it still seems kasher. Once it seems kosher, and we have no particular evidence to postulate it, perhaps it would be a kosher shtar. And you could deny that. The other famous machlokes we showed, which we'll get to, I was just saving it for when we get to the Gemara. That's good. Is what about bimakom irur bible? What if the fellow who allegedly wrote the shtar, who? Was Mischayev himself in the Shar, the Das Mischayev claims that it was forged. Right? Does that make a difference? When Rish Lakish says, Midoraisa, you don't need Kiyum. That was before the Gemara brought in, what if the Baal comes, right? And Ma'ar. Right? So we're not sure. He says, Midoraisa, you don't need Kiyum. Then the Gemara brings in, what if the Baal comes in his Ma'ar? Does that mean the Baal comes in Ma'ar, it's absol to Rabbanan? Because of Kiyum Shtaros? Or does that mean, no. When the Baal comes in Ma'ar, it's even possible Midoraisa. It doesn't matter, because then the chazakah that you give it in front of two or three and you lo asi the wearing nafshi outweighs him. But it's an interesting question. What if the guy with four says it's a false shtar? Does Rish Lakish still apply? That is a machlokes Rishon. Most Rishon of Sumer Rish Lakish still applies. The famous sheet of our Avigdor counts, one of the Bali Tosos, and probably the Rambam says not that way. So what if the guy explicitly says, I'm telling you it's forged, because I'm the guy who it says borrowed the money, and I didn't borrow the money, and I never authorized anyone to write the shtar. So what we say in this case, So in this case, you would certainly say, perhaps, that it needs Kiyom Minatora, which is the Shita of Rav Victor Katz, of the Bali Tosos, and certainly the Pashtus, the Rambam. Okay, the Nesi was denied the Rambam. He says the Rambam was only talking about that case, not a normal case. That's what he says. You think the Rambam really holds this? Nah, he just meant the guy's Ma'arah. If you look for the Edom, can't locate them, it's possibly Daraisa. You know, if there's not such strong Omdana, after all, you wouldn't forge it. But on the other hand, this guy's standing here denying it. So if there's counter evidence should counter the Omdana. However, if you say like Rechayim, we'll see a little later on a Briz who makes it more complicated. But you would think, Lechori would say that it's that Rish Lakish still applies, and it still doesn't need Kiyum in Atzorah, which is the Shita of most Rishonim and the certain Pashas of the Gemara. No. If it's Eidos, what?
Some Eidos are Kiyum in Atzorah.
Yes. Thank you. After all, if the Shtar is made that it's kosher, who cares if the other guy... In every court case, if two Edom are made that you owe me money and you swear that you don't, it doesn't matter. Two Edom beat the Baldover, right? Obviously, Edom beats the Baldover. He should have no right to be my Ivor. I'll be
Pashtus. I mean, the big assumption here is that the Baal is the same thing as
anybody else. I know that's the Grizz deals with, but we're not going to deal with the Grizz now. You want, you can look in the Grizz and Hilchos Gerush and the Chibur, but we'll get to it. We're just leaving Rosh Hashanah. Another fascinating discussion that was discussed in the Ktsos and in the Pnei Yoshua is, and this is a very strange case, what if the Edim themselves deny that they signed? The Edim themselves, they deny they signed the Shtar. You bring in the Edim and they say, that's not our signature, we did not sign the Shtar. We're not going to collect based on the Shtar. That would be a little too fishy. But is it possibly Daraisa or only possibly Darabana? Is this possibly Darabana? Because in Darabana they were Machra and Kiyum Shtaros. Or is this possibly Daraisa? So, the Arzarura has a unique sheet that says it's still Kashrim Daraisa. Why would it be Kashrim Daraisa? They themselves denied they signed. This is what the Pnei Yoshua says. How can you say the guy's afraid of being found out? What do you mean? He's believed me Daraisa. You know, before they made it to Kandaran, he was believed. Even if the Edom come and say they didn't sign, there's no way to find him out. Right, that's very peculiar. They come and they say they never signed it. And we're still going to say, it's an umdana, we're sure that it wasn't forged? When the two Edom are here saying that it was forged. So, then I think you would certainly have to say, that it's paso mida araisa, which is the shita of Rov Rishonim. Even if you said the chiddush of shtar, I would still think that the Edom themselves come and say that it was forged, that undermines the Chiddush. You know, the Chiddush only goes so far, but at least it's possible to understand the Shita of the Or Zeruah that was quoted in there. I think the Yeshua, he says, the Shita that was brought in the Shach. I don't remember if he says which Rishon it was, but in the Ktsos, he says Shita of the Or Zeruah, who said that it's kosher, minat Torah. Why? Because minat Torah. Ah! Because we here have a cheftz of Eidos, the shtar is made that it's kosher. The two Edom come, they're retracting testimony. They can't come and retract their testimony. If Rish Lakish is not just an umdana that it's authentic signatures, but an Eidos that it's authentic signatures, then Kevin Shegish Shemayna Chazar Magid, you can't retract your testimony. Oh, you're saying you never signed it, it doesn't matter. That's called retracting testimony. Kevin Shegish Shemayna Chazar Magid, Morty.
Isn't it different? There's one thing to retract your testimony, the other is to say, I never said it. I mean, there's... You know, you could say I said something and I didn't mean it.
That's why I said it's possible to understand, not that it's likely. You know, probably at a certain point you just undermine the whole foundation. You just stop the chicken and egg from getting off the ground in the first place. But at least it's possible to understand the Shita. Okay, one last thing I want to mention is there is this interesting Rambam.
What is the other Rambam to do with the Mishnayos and Ksuvos? That sounds like it's possible to go right. If they say I'm missing my Inu.
Because that sounds like only if ink sav yodim yotzi mokum acher, and then you could say it's only a migu they could have said if we didn't sign it because they took on a drabbanan of kiyum shtar. So he would say that's all possible drabbanan. Okay, one last thing I want to point out is the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam does have an interesting lashon. The question is what you make of it. And we discussed this Lashon earlier. What was the Lashon of the Rambam? When he quotes our sugya, and then we will make one more Ha'ara and move on in the Gemara, because we have lots of important and interesting and new things to say. And we have a lot of the next Makor sheet. And the next Makor sheet, I only put some of the things I think that I'm sure I'm right. You should hear the things I think that I'm not sure if I'm right. But what does the Rambam say in Perek Zayin, Halacha Chaf Dalet? He says, Ha'edim achsumen al haget harein k'mishinechor yidusa v'bezdin tami. And then he continues and says, we saw this Rambam once before, in the Sugya Tanina, right? The second year of the year. Because Isurin are not like Mamanos. So what does he mean? He quotes Reish Lakish, but he never quotes Edim achsumen al star k'mishinechor yidusa v'bezdin tami. He only quotes Edim achsumen al haget k'mishinechor yidusa v'bezdin tami. And in a context where he's saying, in Gittin, we don't question the guy when he brings the get, but in Mamanos, we require keel. So why does he restrict Reish Lakish to get? So I think what we said last time was that the Pashif shot in the Rambam, why do we restrict Reish Lakish to, the Pashif shot in the Rambam, why do we restrict Reish Lakish to get, is that this is not about the fundamental question of shtarus. This is about tanina. What he really means is that by gittin, mishnech we do some bezdin and dummy, and we don't do tanina on anyone's behalf, while by mamanos, we would do tanina. And it's not anything about shtarus or Reish Lakish. He's just saying, in gittin, we use the rule of Reish Lakish and don't say tanina on the Baal's behalf, that maybe it was forged, while in mamanos, we do tanina on the other fellow's behalf. Which was exactly what Tosos and the Ramban and everyone else discussed that we saw in that shir. So I think the pashbit on the Ramban is this is about Tanina, it's not really about Shtaros. If, however, we want to be medayik a little more, and say that he means davka get, you could say he means davka get for one of two reasons. Either A, if you hold like Reb Chaim and the Nesivos, if you want to say it's Dafka Get, there is a Nitziv, which I put in the brackets here, and the Tshuva Summation Dover, who says, you know why? Because Isurim have a lower standard of proof than Mamanos. In Mamanos, I'm also going to call a Raya Mamish. In Isurim, also you need a Raya to change from Cheskes Isur to Cheskes Hatter, but not a Raya Gemura. You don't need to Eva Dover Dover Mamon, you don't need the same level of proof in Isurin, even in Dover Shemarev, as you do in Mamon. So what's he saying? The idea that a star is kosher is not 100% proof. It's only likely. And likelihood is enough for Isurin and Gittin and not enough for Mamonos. So according to this Netziv, what he's saying is this whole Reish Lakish doesn't mean we're sure it's not forged. Just means it's likely it's not forged, but we're not sure. Okay? That clearly is against the Mahalach of Reb Chaim, the Chiddush, that it's Eidos, that it's not forged. So again, I'm not going to give you a deal with this Nesivos. I don't think it's the Pashim Shah in the Rambam. When the Rambam says, Dafka by get, I don't think it means Reish Lakish only applies to get. I think it means Reish Lakish applies all over, but we do Taninan by Mamon, and we don't do Taninan by get. But if you take this Nesiv, let's ask the simple question, does Reish Lakish apply to the Mamonos or only to get? And the Pashup shot all over Shas is that Reish Lakish does apply to Dini Mamonos. That's the Pashup shot. But if you ask, does Reish Lakish apply only to Mamon or to get? And theoretically, the Rambam could say something like, the Rambam Shitase, no, in other places when they talk about Kiyum Shtaros being Darabonim by Mamon, they mean because Shtaros are only Darabonim by Mamon, not because of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, they only said by Gittin. So clearly, from Zechidish, you would say, even to Mamonos. And I think even as an omdana, you could say it's a strong omdana, even by Mamonos. That's what everyone else in the world says, right? But probably you would say even to Mamonos. But you could say, like the Shutmish Dover of the Nitziv, that only to Isurin, which have a lower standard of proof. Okay, and that's his shot in the Rambam. He doesn't say this stam because he's having a good time one day. He says that's his shot in the Rambam. You have to say some shot in the Rambam. That's his shot. Not my favorite shot, but it's a possible pshat. Okay, so that could also be a nafkamina. Again, probably not. Probably either way, it's across the board. That's pashas of shas. But if you are going to say the nitziv, you're clearly going over to one side of this chakira. I just want to end with one thing. And I want to put two and two together. And I almost forgot to point this out. Thank you, Effie, for reminding me. There's a funny gemara, which was hinted at by, or not hinted at, referenced by Tosfos on Beis Amud Beis. Aleph going on Beis. So gemara and Bava Metzia. Daf, I think it was Yud Beis and Beis, talks about finding a shtar, right? The first paragraph of Metzia, hopefully we have enough Bekiyas and Shas to know that certainly know the second paragraph of Bava Metzia is about finding things, and that's segregated from the first paragraph, which is about, you know, what to do if you find certain things, come Shnei Rosh and tell us, going on to finding certain things. So one of the issue is finding a shtar. Right, the shtar says, Reuven o Shimon, $100,000. Matzah shtar yichov. What do you do if you find it? So the Gemara, okay, the Mishnah says that sometimes you give it back, sometimes you don't. All of a sudden the Gemara says very strange. But Mayaskina, Ilem Shechayim Modet, if they both admit, and let's give a good example, right? Morty owes Charlie $1 million. And I find the shtar. So Charlie obviously is going to say I should give it back to him. Right, so you can collect $1 million. Morty says, Tak, I'm an honest fellow. I didn't lose it. Charlie lost it. Give it back to him. I really do owe $1 million. Singer says, well, then, obviously, I should return it across the board. Even if it has a Shiva Nechasim, I should return it. And if not, then what's the Hav Miyashem return? Singer says, I should return it if there's no Shiva Nechasim, not if there is. And no, if Morty claims that he lost the shine, that he does owe the money, what right do I have to return it? No matter what. And if he admits he owes the money, I should also return it no matter what. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says, no, it's over. They both admit I should return it to Charlie. But we're worried about the kuchos. Maybe there's a psul in the shtar, and Charlie's going to go, and Morty won't have the cash. And he'll go collect the mortgage on the property Morty sold from the kuchos Shaloka did. What are they worried about? So they say, that Chayshina Shemekosav Lilbos Nisan Lobad Tishrei. Maybe it was predated. He wrote the shtar in Nisan, but didn't borrow till Tishrei, and therefore the date on the shtar is too early. But also the mitzvah of kuchos Shaloka did. Someone says, Ihalchi Kol Shtari. And this is just an example. The Gemara says, every possible kakamimi psul you could think of in a shtar. The Gemara says, maybe this happened, maybe that happened. When you find a shtar, you have to worry about it. The Gemara says at some point, right away, Kol Shtari, now it is the comment. Then every shtar, why don't we worry? Meaning, if we're worried it's a predated shtar, every shtar we should worry about that. Why only if it fell? The Gemara says, no. Kol Shtari lo rei, hani rei. It says a reyasa. A shtar that fell and was found by a guy in the street has a reyasa. If the shtar is a reyasa, we all of a sudden have to worry about every soul in the book. That's the principle of Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, also going on to Yud Gimel and Aleph, in Bava Metzia. If you find a shtar on the floor, on the street, it has a reyasa, and you have to be choshesh for every possible soul. And therefore, you can only give it back if you make sure it's a scenario where there can be no possible damage to anyone if there's any possible soul. Right? The Gemara has lots of other things. Shemek Sum Hayu Venim Lech Aleihem Shalom Leitnam. Maybe he wrote it and then decided never to give it, etc. Every possible soul. So, everyone explains why just because you found it on the street are you all of a sudden choshesh for every possible soul? So Rashi says here, and Tosfos seems to agree. Rashi says, Hovenach al Isra di Yishlom Hayu Kosher Yen Nizarbo. If it fell, it was a reyasa. Right? Why? Because a kosher shtar, no one would lose. Shtars are very valuable things. No one would lose a kosher shtar. Right? If I gave you a check for 100,000 shekel, and it was a kosher check, you wouldn't lose it. No one loses a kosher check. You're too machmed on it. Okay. I've seen cases where people do. But, okay, Rashi said they wouldn't. Maybe in the old days, they were more careful with their possessions. Okay, makes sense. Life was simpler then. You didn't have so many things to keep track of. You wouldn't lose a kosher shtar. So therefore, if you lost the shtar, that's a race that proves it must be puzzle. Because why were you so careless with that? Because it was puzzle anyway.
But it opened up the puzzle.
It's an indication. Yeah, it's an indication. Okay. Now, that's one way of saying. Basically, if you want to ask, same two possibilities. How do you explain the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Beis on the Beis? The reyasa that happens through nefila shtar. So one way of explaining this reyasa of the nefila shtar is that it's just an umdana. It's a psychological insight. Em haya kasher, haya nizharbo, velo, haya nizharbo. He would have been careful if it was kosher. So since he was careless, that shows it's possible. When you're careless with something, it shows it's not valuable. Okay, maybe the guy's just a reckless, careless guy. Okay, nonetheless, enough of Reisa. However, based on the Rav, you could say a longish answer to this. Just put two and two together. Why don't you put two and two together? Put this together with what I had on the board last time. As a matter of fact, I think I even had, did I have numbers on the board last time? 1 second. Yes. So I had 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's call this 5. 5.1, 5.2, 5.3, 5.4, 5.5. Just say that that's not important. But what I do want to say is here we'll call this 5, we'll call this, sorry, 4 plus 5. Call it 9 if you wish. What do I mean by this? Put the two parts of the Rav quoting his grandfather together. What are the two parts? This part is, how do we know every star is kosher? Why shouldn't we worry about every soul and every star? You never know. So the answer might be, if people act towards it like normal star, minastam, it's not possible. Or you can say, no, the star is made that it's not possible, so the chiddush of the chetz of star. Put that together with what we had on the board last time, that what makes a star be made? The tfisas fala star. The tfisas fala star. How do we know that if Charlie's holding it, how do we know he really lent Morty 100,000 shekel? Because Charlie's holding the star. His holding the star makes it be made. How do we know Morty didn't pay back? Because Charlie's holding the star. That's the Rav's shot in the case of the woman in Sanhedrin Lath Lamed Aleph. How do we know she was entrusted to be the arbiter of whether the star was paid? Because she's holding the star. Now, you could say very simple. If you put two and two together, A, that a star is made on its own kashrus, and that's why it's kasher. B, a star is made based on who's holding it. Then you could just say, if someone's holding it, it's made on its own kashrus. Once it's lying on the street and no one's holding it anymore, it now loses, there's no tfisas bala shtar, it loses the power to be made on its own kashrus. So you could say, al pi lomdus, that it's not made on its own kashrus, Ella Rock, al yaday, all right, could have taken out the double negative, fisas bal hashtar. That's the reisa. It's a lumdish reisa. The whole chiddush of shtar, what's the whole point of chiddush of shtar? It's not just so Edom can testify long distance. No, it's so you can have a unique heftz of edus that is made depending on who's holding it. And therefore, the chiddush of shtar is said when someone relevant is holding the shtar. Remember, the Rav says the machlokas osios niknas from Sirin Sanhedrin is whether only the two parties written there are relative or a third, irrelevant, or a third party is also relevant. When someone's holding the shtar, then the chiddush of shtar kicks in and is made on its own kashrus and on all the things that had to happen for this fellow to be holding the shtar and for it to be meaningful. But if no one's holding the shtar, the whole chiddush of shtar doesn't kick in. The whole chiddush of shtar is only said for a tofes hashtar. If he's not a tofes hashtar, then there's no chiddush of shtar. Then it's just people who wrote a letter on a piece of paper, and we have to be choshish for every possible psul in the book before we give it back to them. So you put together all the lumdus. You can have a more lumdish shot in Pabmetzi, Dafi, Beis, and Beis. Okay, that depends. If you were very convinced, you might not need the lumdus shot. If you're convinced that whenever someone drops something, it means it must be puzzle, that's why they dropped it. Right? Anytime someone loses a diamond ring, it must be cubic zirconium. Because if it was a real diamond, they would have been careful. Then you don't need to say a lumdus shot. But it could very well be that it's not such a strong omen that if someone loses it, it must be puzzle. And that it might very well be that this is a formal problem, not a psychological observation. Once you don't have tfisas bala shtar, the whole chiddush of shtar was only there for the tfisas bala shtar to be meaningful. Once you don't have tfisas bala shtar, not only is it not made on the mesira and the lack of piron and all the other things, it's not even made on its own kashrus because the chiddush doesn't kick in, and therefore, once it's in the street, there's no chiddush, and we have to be choshish for every psul, just like we would have to be choshish for every psul and all edus. Any edim would come in, we're dorish rechoka them and check for all the possible things, right? We check if the date is right, drisha v'chakira. So, okay, I think that's a good shot in, I can't prove it, because it's another option, but I think it's definitely a good shot in Bavitsi, Dafi Beis, and with this we will refer to this whole basic oneness many times further for the rest of the year. We're only getting started. But I think we'll move on in the Gemara.
I mean, the Baal Shtar has a particular position here, because if it's Das HaMishchai, it is right to the Baal Shtar.
Yes, correct. The Das HaMishchai is only for a certain person. Okay, great. So let us move on to the Gemara now. Now that we have that down, we're going to see how this ties into Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. But first, let's get through some Gemara. I think we're up to, if I recall correctly, pretty much the middle of Gimel and Beis, Rava, Maitama, Lo Amar, Karava, and vice versa. So, the Gemara says, in the beginning of the line, about 60% of the way through, Daf Gimel and Aleph, I meant, sorry, for Rava, Maitama, Lo Amar, Karava, why didn't Rava say, it was because of Lashma, Amar Lach, because I'm funny enough from Lashma, funny enough from Lashma. If it was Lashma, Shlif should have to say Lashma, he only said Bafanai. Bafanai means it wasn't forged. Doesn't mean it was Lashma. Remember, we already saw Machlokes Rishonim, how it means Lashma. But nonetheless, like, even though you have your answer, remember the Machlokes, either Menastam it means Lashma, for one reason or another, two possible reasons, or they ask him and follow up it was Lashma. But he still says, no, if it's about Lashma, he should just say Lashma without any fancy svaras. For Rabba, how does Rabba defend himself? But didn't he listen to Hachi? El Gimashli, you were also the Migzei. You're right, they want to be talking funny nichol, funny nichol and Lashma. However, if it's so long, he would end up cutting off a word. Hashanami also the Migzei, even now, he might cut off a word. No, Chadmi plas guys, Chadmi tarti low guys. Okay, most of them say this means, but funny nichol, Lashma, three words, he might leave out a word. But funny nichtav, he won't leave out a word. You can't leave out a word from two words. And something you should explain, because if you have three words and you leave out one, it's still a sentence. Funny nichtav without Lashma is still a sentence. At least if you say it that way. But funny nichtav, you leave out one word, just the funny, just nichtav, that's not a sentence, and no one make that mistake. Okay, here it's a little tricky. What exactly is the problem if they leave out a word? Right, if you think about it, it is a little funny. You know what? Can someone get the board, please? Because the real takana is b'fanei nichtav. The hava mean is b'fanei nichtav l'shma, but then you might leave out l'shma and just say b'fanei nichtav, and it would be possible. Hold on. But in the end, the takana is b'fanei nichtav. Why would you say leaving out l'shma makes it possible if you're saying what the halacha actually is that you're saying? So let me just... okay. So you read Rashi. You cheated. You said you're allowed to read. So if we just ask, like, what's Pashut Pshat in the Gemara? Here is the real takana is to say b'fanei nichtav, and that is good enough. The havamina is that he should say b'fanei nichtav l'shma. But why didn't they make that? Because if he says only b'fanei nichtav and leaves out a word, it's possible. So it's a little funny. They didn't make funny nechtav l'shma because he might just say funny nechtav would be possible. So they told him just say funny nechtav. If funny nechtav is good enough, then why would it be possible? Right? It's good enough for halach l'maisa. So why would it be possible according to this hachmina? Right? Why? After all, we know it's good enough for maskana. So Rashi gives a simple answer. What does Rashi say? What maybe Aaron just said, if I heard correctly. What does Rashi say? Exactly. Shimei Mateya. Right? If we think about it, there's a formal aspect of Takana. I don't want this. I just mean formal aspect of Takana Sarabana. Right? It's not just about largely with what you do suffices or not. Takana Sarabana have a formal aspect. Kol Mashani Yavesh Yitav Chacham Begitin Havlad Mamzer. If they say b'fanei nechtav's good enough. And we'll infer that it was l'shma. But if they told you to say funny nechtav l'shma and you said funny nechtav, the problem isn't that you're missing the word. The problem is that you violated the Tekanah Rabbanan. When you violate the Tekanah Rabbanan, that is a formal psal which makes the get pasal midr Rabbanan, the vlad mamzer midr Rabbanan, having nothing to do with whether you think it's l'shma or not. It's just a formal psal. It's not that we taka think it's not l'shma. No. Funny nechtav makes us think l'shma. Lashana. But in the Havamina, just the Fanei Nechtav might have made us think Lashma, but it would be a violation of Tekana. That would be a formal psal. That is Rashi Pshat, the Ramban, and the other Rishonim, two other Pshatim. All the Rishonim bring another Pshat. They also bring Rashi Pshat. They say no. It's not that the Shimei Mateya is a formal problem. It is a psychological a real substantive problem. Why? If the Chachamim tell you to say b'fanei nechtav, and you say b'fanei nechtav, you mean l'shma. But if the Chachamim tell you to say b'fanei nechtav l'shma, and you say b'fanei nechtav, that's suspicious. Then we can't assume you mean l'shma. Because everyone knows, it makes a big difference, right? There is, everyone knows, there's a big difference, right, between wearing a, you know, you wear a kippah sregah, where everyone wears a kippah sregah means one thing. You wear a kippah sregah where everyone's wearing a black hat. It means something very different. It's much more meaningful because you're bucking the trend. You're doing something suspicious. Something's going on there. So he says, very clearly, he says, no, this is substantive. It's based on good psychology. He says, if everyone says, b'fanei nechtav l'shma, and you say merely b'fanei nechtav, then it implies shelo l'shma. Okay, so it's not that the formal problem of going against the trend substantively makes us reinterpret your words. The Ramban brings Yesh Omrim, which I think is only found in the Ramban and the Meiri. It's not found in all the Rishonim, but the Ramban brings another shot. He says, no, you misunderstood the Gemara. It didn't mean you only say b'fanei nechtav. That would talk to be okay. It says, we're not afraid you might cut off l'shma. We're afraid you might cut off nechtav. Just say b'fanei l'shma. Right? So says the Ramban. That, and the Tosfos Rosh actually is something similar. He says, no, taka b'fanei nechtav would be okay. Gaius means you might say b'fanei l'shma. B'fanei l'shma is no good because you didn't say what happened l'shma. Okay, the Tosfos Rosh sort of implies, he doesn't say explicitly, that also different meaning of the words. I just remembered it now. I didn't put it in the course. But that's not lumish. Just shocked. But here he says, Asi the Migze Kolom. He implies, I would say, the Chadmi Klasid funny Nechtav, and Lashma. Meaning, what does it mean to leave out one? So he doesn't say exactly what it means to leave out one. Okay, but he certainly allows the possibility, I guess. What I would say is, maybe, not so foolish, but maybe in a similar vein, because he has a different way of counting. Everyone counts, the funny neftam l'shma is three. The funny neftam l'shma is three. He says, no, the funny neftam is one, funny neftam is two, and l'shma is three. Like, you should have said funny neftam l'shma. You know? So he thinks that, no. He says, Gaius means the funai nechtav lishma without the funai nechtam or vice versa. Right? In which case, we understand the problem. If you leave up ksiv or leave up chasima, that's obviously a big problem. Right? So you can either reinterpret what Gaius is or say Gaius takes away the shma and view it formally or psychologically, substantively. And now we will move on in the Gemara. The Gemara continues. And says, fine, now we understand that. How about Rabba, my Tamalom, or Karava? Why didn't Rabba say it's Darkim Shtaros? Amrlach, Imkin, Nisim, Funny Nechtav, Sulot. If it's Darkim Shtaros, you should only need the signatures. What does the writing have to do with Kim Shtaros? You only need to find the signatures, not the writing. Funny Nechtav, Lomali, Shvami, Nabi, and Lashva. Seems to be a good proof. But Rabba says, no, the din of the listening Haki, you're right, you shouldn't have needed to say Funny Nechtav, Elad, Imkin, Asa, the Chlufi, Kim Shtaros, Yam, Beid, Echad. But we have a big problem. Kiyum Shtaros is a serious business, an all actual business, right? And you can imagine a lot of people attempted to do a Kiyum Shtaros for Eid Echad. It would just make their lives a lot easier. If guys want Eid, he wants to bring every argument he can that it's kosher. So if people see the shtar, the get comes from Dina Sayyam and you do Kiyum Shtaros with Eid Echad, they might think you can do Kiyum Shtaros and Dina Mamanus with Eid Echad, which is not true. And therefore, to avoid confusion, they said, say funny nechtav, uba funny nechtav. That way, everyone will see this is not regular Kiyum Shtaros. Funny Nechtav is regular Kiyum Shtaros. Might lead to confusion. Yeah, also have to testify that Ksiva, that's not regular Kiyum Shtaros. There actually is a subtle machlokas here between Tosfos and the Ramban. With a lot of you showing, so I like the Ramban. What is the nature of this takana to avoid confusion? Is it that just Stam you have to say the Funny Nechtav? or that he's also sort of throwing in lishma. You also have to imply that it's lishma in order to avoid confusion, and which brings him closer to Rava. But in any case, you have to add b'fani nechtav to avoid confusion. But Rava says, no one get confused anyway. Hasam yadinan hacha b'fana. No one's going to be confused in this in Kim Shtaras, because regular Kim Shtaras, you don't say you saw it being written, you say we recognize the signatures. And here you say you have to say you saw it being written. And Hasam Ishlam Hamad, regular Kim Shtaras has to be a man, and here it could be a woman. Hasam al Dover Lama Haman, Hakam al Dover Haman. Regular Kim Shtaras, it can't be the Bal Dover, here it could be a Bal Dover. It can only be al Dover in a very rare case. Lamar describes later on. It's foolish, I'm not making this up. I'm not clever enough to make this up. If the husband says to his wife, go be a Shliach Holacha, to bring it to your hometown and then give it to yourself on my behalf. Okay, how she gives it to herself, ignores the odd, technically how she does that, Maisa. But that rare case, even though she's the Baldover, she can say funny nechtam because she is the Shliach, the Holachas again. So obviously you won't be confused. Rava says no, you'd still be confused. So what does Rava say? There's no way this would be confused. If it was for Kim Shtaros, he would only say funny nechtam and no one would be confused. And Rava says, no. Rava says, if you only said b'fani nechtav, you would be confused. That's why they need to add b'fani nechtav. Why? Atu hasam ki amri yadina and milo mehemni. Chemit ki amri yadina mehemni. Asa the chlufe ki imshtaris di alma be'eid echad. No! Over there, and our girsa, yadina is also believed. Over there, yadina is also believed. Since over there, yadina is also believed, it would be confused. So what exactly does Rava mean here? Let's just get pshat in the Gemara. But we're not going to go into it too deeply. What exactly does Rava mean, right, in his last line, where he's claiming there would be confusion, and that's why you need to add the funny nechtav, and that's how he justifies the funny nechtav, right? What would lead to confusion if not for the funny nechtav? So our gear says, well, Rashi says something funny. It seems to be machlokas in the Rishon who quote Rashi, what Rashi's gears in the Gemara was. Even though some people say Rashi had Tosas gears in the Gemara, just gave his shot anyway. Although in our Rashi seems to have a different gears in the Gemara. What's the difference between the Dibur Maskel of Rashi and what's printed in our Gemara? What's the difference? What's the difference between the Dibur Maskel of Rashi and what's printed in our Gemara in the Girsa?
Oh, Yadati or
Yadina. Right. Well, what's the difference? Yachid or Rabin, right? Singular and plural. Our Gemara says Yadina. Yadina is plural. Rashi says Yodea Ani. You couldn't get more explicit than that. Now, interestingly, some Rishonim think he might have had our Girsa just interpret his Lavdafka, but it doesn't matter. Let's assume he had his Girsa. Let's assume Rashi's writing what was the Girsa in his Gemara.
This is talking about one Shulah.
Right. So says Rashi, Gam Begitten Em Amar Hashliach Yodea Ani, meaning I know these are the signatures. Kosher. That the shliach doesn't have to say b'fanei nechtav. He can also say, I recognize the signatures. That's Rashi's shot. This is very radical. Tosos has some kashas against it, although Tosos also points out how Rashi can answer the kashas. That's very radical. It's a bit of a shitas yachid. Because what he's saying is that the kind of b'fanei nechtav is lavdafka. He doesn't have to say b'fanei nechtav. He can also say, I recognize the signature. That's a big chiddush. Pashas, he has to say the exact lashon. So this is rejected. Right? All the other Rishonim argue on him and did. Not just in what's the perish of the Gemara. They don't argue because they don't think that's the right perish of our Gemara, the right perish of our Gemara. They argue with him because they don't think the din is true. No. If a shliach comes and says anything but b'fanei nechtam, it's not good enough. There's a special tekanah d'rabbanan to believe in eid echad. That special tekanah d'rabbanan only applies if he says the exact lashon that the hachamim told him to say. Right? Chok no v'din v'sovrin shechachamim haminu eid echad rak em amar. To Lashon, Hatakana, Bifanay Nechtam.
according to Rashi, there's another machlokas rabbah and
rabbah. Correct. According to Rashi, there's another machlokas rabbah and rabbah. Meaning, according to Rashi, yes, what's the nafkamina between rabbah and rabbah? The nafkamina is, what if instead of the shliach says, it wasn't written in front of me, but I recognize the signatures. According to rabbah, that's good enough. According to rabbah, it's not. Big chedesh. And Rashi said, Shinim at bay is puzzle. So, Shinim at bay is puzzle according to Rabbah, but not according to Rabbah. Okay, why? Because for Rabbah, it's a new matvei of a new takana that's not an extension of pre-existing din. For Rabbah, it's an extension of pre-existing din of Kiyuv Shtaris. Tremendous chiddush in Rashi. Tremendous chiddush.
No, Rabbah,
Rabbah, he
thinks that it's Rashi, thinks that Mishmigu and Kiyuv Akbana means in all three Shtaris.
Yes, correct. They just relaxed the stands of Kiyum Shtaris. For Rashi, the Takana according to Rava is more of just a relaxation of standards within the regular din of Kiyum Shtaros, and not an entirely new din. Which would answer the Shitas Kadmonim's question, as Chaim just told us that. The Shitas Kadmonim, I think the Shitas Kadmonim means what's called Hidushim Iksav Yad in the Mosad of Kuk Ritva. I think those are referring to the same book. The Shitas Kadmonim asked, isn't that Shinim Atbeya? The answer is Mia. For Rava, there's an Indian of Shinim Atbeya because there's a new Takana by Yitno. For Rava, this is just Kiyum Shtaros with some Kulas. So therefore, we're not so machbid on the Matbeya.
Why can't we say that's what Rashi's addressing, which is the Mali Bafana, Mali and Yodea. And he's saying there really is a chat earlier in Shinim Atbeya is that it changes what it actually means.
Ah, that's the other. Right. I'll compromise a little and say maybe Rashi was only worried of Shinim Atbeya when there's also something substantively lacking there. When we're looking for Lishma, you leave out Lishma, even though we can infer Lishma, the Shinim Atbeya is very pogeya in the Matara. Over here, the Shinim Atbeya is not pogeya but Matara. And only Shinim Atbeya is pogeya Matara. It might not be pogeya Matara so much we would have possible it in and of itself. But once it's pogeya Matara and the Shinim Atbeya, that's possible. Over here, where it's not pogeya Matara b'chlal, a Shinim Atbeya is not possible. Okay, I accept both those answers. Great. Chaim will tell us who says in the Masifta. Shai is the Minchas Pinchas, and my answer is the Dudai Ruvin. Okay, it's fine. The problem is, of course, unless it's someone like we're familiar with, it doesn't actually add to our knowledge to know that. If you don't know Chaim, then okay, that means something. You don't know Ritva, but so you can track all the unfamiliar names. The Tosos says a different shot. Tosos says no. Tosos says that Gam Begitin in Heidu Shnei Eidim. Oh, let's just write what the verse is. No? Amar Yaina. Let's assume that's more or less the Gersa for Rashi, right? Tosos' Gersa is what we have. Amri Yaina. That's our printed Gersa. In the Idu Shnei Eidim She Yodim, meaning Makirim Hasimas HaChasimos, it's kosher. For Tosos, not such a big chiddush. What's Tosos saying? If two Eidim come and say we authenticate the signatures, that's good enough for Rava. Well, that makes sense, because that's not a special kula. Rabbah's saying, Chacham are talking to Kulan Kiyum Shtaros, one aid can do it if he's a shliach and says a funny nechtan. If you have two aid, then you have two aid. That's not a chiddush at all. That's regular Kiyum Shtaros. If you could do regular Kiyum Shtaros according to the normal rules, then of course you don't need the Takanin Rabbanan. Of course, you can, this is not a chiddush in din. Everyone would agree in din. The chiddush that Tosa thinks this is the Gerson or Gemara. And the chiddush that Tosa thinks this would lead to confusion. After all, what is Tosa saying? I might be confused to think you need a Kiyum Shtaros with one aid. This is a chiddush in how confused people can get. It's okay. I've always found people are confused more than I think they are. But what's those saying? Think about it. One aid is only believed if he says the funny nechtan. But two aidim could come and say yadina and be believed. So a person might be so confused that in one get, he'll see two aidim come and say yadina. In another get, he'll come and see one guy say the funny nechtan. He'll think that means that in all shtaros, one guy could say yadina and that's good enough. I'm not sure why he would think that, but he'll put two and two together, come out with six and a half. And you might think that's so it's a chiddush in how confused people can be. They never actually saw one aid do something that looks like Kiyum Shtaros and be believed. But since they saw two aid do Kiyum Shtaros for Reuven's get, and one aid do a funny language for Shimon's get, a funny nechtam, they'll think one aid is named Kiyum Shtaros. Okay, it could be. The Ramban has a third Gersa. And he says, no, neither of these are Gershatim. Why? Mistama, he doesn't like the din of Rashi's. And he doesn't think Tosos will lead to confusion. That's too far away to lead to confusion. So what is the Ramban's Girsa? He is a totally different Girsa. What does he say? I forget the Lashon of his Girsa. Well, I guess I can find it, right? Here we are. He actually goes back and forth what the Girsa is, but it seems to be, he says, the Nuscha Nami lo Garsi El, he has the Nuscha, which is like Tosos, but he says, Hachi Garsina, Hason ki Amri Bifaneinu mi lo Mehemni. Ki Amri Bifaneinu. What does he mean? He means saying, no, you know what the objection is? Gam Bishar Shtaros. In Shnei Edom Amru Bifaneinu Nechtam. It's kosher, right? But he's saying, no, it leads to confusion. Even in regular Shtaros, they even don't have to say recognize the signature. It's even better if they say we were there and it was signed and we saw it, all was done, Kedasu Kedin. So here's the problem. In regular Edos, two Edom could say Bifaneinu Nechtam. In regular Shtaros. In Gittin, one guy could say Bifanei Nechtam. So someone might be confused and think that a regular Shtaros, one guy can also say Bifanei Nechtam. And that, the guy might not make a mistake and think one Ed could say Yadin on Shar Shtaros, but he might think one Ed could say Bifanei Nechtam on Shar Shtaros, and that would be the confusion. So the confusion is not that he might sometimes see in Gittin it's okay if you do like Shtaros. He might sometimes see in Shtaros it's okay if you do like Gittin. And then he would be confused. Okay, those are the Pshat and Mer, whatever the Pshatim are. Let's assume we believe Rabbah. We believe, I think it's Rabbah talking now. What does Rabbah say? That if you just said B'fani Nechtav, people would get confused and think Kiyum Shtaros B'Almas Be'id Echad. That's why they added B'fani Nechtav. Not because of Lashma, but because of Kiyum Shtaros. Now we're ready to move on. Ula Rabbah, the Amr L'Fishayim B'Kiyum Lashma. Man Hai Taima, just get the board when you have a chance. Man Hai Tana, now we have a very fundamental question. You know, okay, there's more, you know, cheshbonos you can make there, but we'll leave it for now. Maybe we'll come back to them. According to Rava, it's for the Shema. We want to know why he needs Ksiva and Chasiva. Rava, explain why he needs Ksiva and Chasiva. Chasiva is the Iker Kiyum Shtaros, and Ksiva is to avoid confusion with Kiyum Shtaros Be'al Be'ed Echad. And he managed to explain how someone might get confused, if not for that. According to Rav, it's for Lishma, but why do you need Ksiva Lishma and Chasima Lishma? Anyone know which word in the Torah tells us you need Lishma? Lishma is a din d'oraisa? What does V'kasav mean? So the problem is we have Machlokas Tanar and what V'kasav means, and until we get to the Abdallah of an Aleph, we think there's only two sheetahs in the Tanaim, which is Rav Meir and Rav Yelazar. He says, Man haitan by Ksiva Lishma by Chasima Lishma. Why do you need Ksiva Lishma and Chasima Lishma? Irai Meir, Chasima by Ksiva Lo by. Rav Meir only requires Chasim Lishma, and Rav Elazar only requires Ksiv Lishma. How do we know? Rav Meir only requires Chasim Lishma, not Ksiv Lishma. Ditznan, Ein Tosfin Ben Mechubar Lekarka, Kaswal Mechubar Lekarka, Tolshu Kaswal Menasim LaKasher. Because what is written in this Tanakama, we have good reason to assume is Rav Meir. You're not allowed to write Ben Mechubar Lekarka, but if you write it Ben Mechubar, as long as you detached it, and it was signed Betolosh, that's good enough. So what do we see from here? That we're assuming, which is a valid assumption, certainly on a derisa level, the psul of Mechubar and the psul of Shlomo Lishma are equivalent. They're both going on the word Bekasav in the Chumash. Bekasav la, whatever Bekasav means has to be Lishma, and Bekasav ... Benasan, whatever is means meant by Bekasav, has to be something that you can then be nosing, not something that is attached and you have to cut off before you know saying it. So therefore, whatever the word Bekasav means has to be Lashma and Betolosh. And we see from Rabbi Meir that, yeah, Lechachila, don't get into a situation where you might mess up. But it's fine. If you did write it B'mchubar, that's fine, as long as you signed it Betolosh. So what do we see? Bekasav law in the Chumash means the signatures. The word Bekasav in the Chumash is not referring to the language of the get, it's referring to the signature on the get. Okay, then only the signature needs to be Lashma. He only requires the Ksiva Lishma, not the Chasima. Why? It doesn't say Ksiva. It's not because Chasima lo boi Lishma. He actually does not. He does not require Chasima at all. He doesn't require Chasima. He says you don't need him signed on the get. So, according to him, why are Edom signed? Why do we have Edom signed on the get? What does the Mishnah say in the fourth paragraph? Tikkun Olam. He says it's Tikkun Olam. As a matter of fact, many Mishnayim say it's not even an absolute obligation, just an Itza Tova of Chazal. For Tikkun Olam, you should have Edom signed the get, because otherwise, how is she going to prove 20 years later she was divorced? But, need the Raisa, Me'ikar, Din, you don't need Edom signed the get. According to him, where will the Edom be? Ain't no Shiver Pops Mishnayim, where are the Edom?
The
Sirius, I get. The Edom witness, but you don't need the sign. So if you don't need the sign, you don't need the sign the Shema. Chitim, the old Rabbi Elazar, you told by Rabbi Elazar, Chasim, Lashma, Midarais, Yerobin Bai. And if you say, no, maybe Midarais doesn't require Chasim, Lashma. But Midarabanan, he requires Chasim, Lashma, meaning when they made a Tikkun Olam, they have to sign the get. Maybe that was a requirement, an absolute binding, necessary requirement, Midarabanan, and it has to be Lashma. That Midrabban, and they said, no, you have the signatures total, Madlamahadrin. Not true. Vashlosha Gitin Psulin Drabban, Lo Bayer Lilchizba. There are three Gitin which are possible Midrabban according to our mayor. And Rabbi Lazar says they're not even possible Drabban. They're Hech Kusher Legamre. Right? And why is it important? If our mayor had said possible Daraisa, could be Rabbi Lazar says Kusher, it means Kusher Midaraisa, but possible Drabban. Since our mayor only said possible Drabban, then Rabbi Lazar says Kusher, he obviously means Kusher Legamre, even on the Drabban level. So we see he doesn't be Chasimos even on the Drabban level. What are these three gittin? The Tanan Gimel Gittim Sulim, the Mishnah Daf Peivav, the Nisalat Kasher. These are Pasul Drabbanan, but it's not such a chomer to kind of Drabbanan. Some Sulim Drabbanan are so Pasul Drabbanan that if she gets married and has a baby, the baby's a Mamzer Midrabbanan. These are only minor Sulim Drabbanan. The gets Pasul, she's not allowed to remarry. But if she does, then the baby's not a Mamzer. Okay, what else happens that's debated? Does she have to leave the second husband, Midrabanan, or does she stay with the second husband? Yeah, that's debated in the Machlok Zamaran later on, in the last parak. But what are these three getting? Kasuk Sav Yadav Einol of Edom, he wrote in his handwriting without Edom. Yesh Lov Edom in his mind, there's Edom, there's no date. Yesh Lov Edom in his mind, or there is a date, but there's only one Ed. Harailu Shlosha Gittim Psulim, Venisa Lakasha, these are possible Rabbanan. Rabbi Lazar, Ralph Fish Einol of Edom, even there's zero Edom. Elosh and Nuslo Vifte Edom, he just gave it in front of Edom, and see, it's Kasha. Kasher obviously means kasher. Legami, even under a bottom level, go and chasvish button and collect the mortgage from the buyers of the property. She'ena Edom chosal, again, I'm taking the olam. The Edom only signed for taking the olam. You don't need not meet a rice and not meet a bottom. You don't absolutely need Edom sign on the get. Okay. So, we see here the machlokes, nachamim, and Rabbi Lazar. You got the board, right? Okay. Let's just point out that there. The Gemara is already pointing out here that there is sort of two levels to the Machlokes, Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. And that is based on, there's some more fundamental Machlokes and then a Machlokes that flows from that. One Machlokes they have is the famous Machlokes called many places in this Masechet, right? And other Masechetot. Ede Hasima Karti or Ede Mesira Karti. Karti means Miloshin Krisos, right? The get is Koris. What makes her divorced? Right? What makes the Gerishin Bichal? Rav Meir says only Edom signed on the Shtar. Rav Elazar says no, the Edom would witness it being handed over. Meaning, what if you have a shtar without Edom signed on it, but you hand it over in front of Edom? If you have a shtar without Edom signed on it and you hand it over without Edom, that's a problem. Just like Kiddushin, if you don't have Edus Lekim Adar, it's a Chal. A get isn't a Chal if you don't have Edus Lekim Adar. But what if you have, meaning, what's the ringer saying? That an unsigned get is worthless, is not Koris. Meaning, it doesn't make a closed Gerushin. Nothing happens. It's just a worthless piece of paper. Well, according to Rabbi Lazar, no. An unsigned get is kores if it's handed over bifnei edim who are called edei mesira. Right? That's the etzem machlokas that's found in the Mishnah Daf Peivav. Rav Meir says it's no good without edim. Okay, and it's a psul drabanan in these funny cases where you have sort of semi edim or edim but without zman. Rav Elazar says, no, Edom not necessary at all. It's only Tikkun Olam. It's good advice to have Edom, because what's she going to do 10 years from now? How's she going to prove she's divorced if the two Edom was handed over in front of Dite? But, you know, it's perfectly kosher. Flowing from that is, you know, what makes a chaloski rishon? Flowing from that is, I don't know which flows from the other actually, is what does the kasav mean in the pasuk? What does the kasav mean in the pasuk? For Rabbi Lazar, it's pretty clear what the kasav means in the pasuk. I say pretty clear, we'll have to get to Rabbi Zubitoko. But the kasav can't be signatures, because you don't need signatures. Right? The Torah doesn't say signatures. But kasav obviously means ksiva sayet. And therefore, what needs to be lishma? The ksiva. What needs to be the kalush? The ksiva. Rabbi Lazar says if you wrote it, the scribe wrote it, the mechaber, it's pasul midoraisa. According to Rav Meir, what does the kasav mean in the Torah? Now, you didn't necessarily have to come to this conclusion, but according to Rav Meir, what does, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mentioned later in the Gemara, third time, it doesn't come to this conclusion. But what conclusion did he come to? He says, look, Eide Chasima Karti. So what's really, what creates a chefta shall get? According to Rav Lazar, the ksiva creates a chefta shall get. Then you have to give it in front of Eide. According to Rav Meir, what creates a chefta shall get? Not the ksiva. The ksiva is merely a preparatory stage. The chasimos make a chefta shall get. And therefore, Professor Mayer, he says, chasimos again. Because of means signing. He has to get signed. He didn't sign himself. That's okay. He also doesn't write himself. He signs the get. Meaning he has two agents sign the get. So what needs to be l'shma? The chasima. What needs to be betolosh? The chasima. Likewise, you find any other, you know, halachas that have to do with how you have to create a chefter shall get, according to Rulazar, they only apply to the ksiva, not to the chasima. Yeah, if you want, they can sign, and that's good for tikkun olam, but that has nothing to do with the din d'oraisa of how to make the get. And according to Rameir, they only apply to the chasima. Of course you have to write it first, because you don't write it, what are they signing on? But that's just the hechsher they're signing. It's their signing that's actually creating a get. And that's why Rabbah is stuck here. Then the Gemara says, yeah.
Just a point of clarification. I don't know if this is like a sugya or this is an obvious thing. What does chasima l'shma mean?
What does chasima l'shma mean? I should tell you, okay. So chasima l'shma means the Edom signed this get for the sake of this man divorcing this woman.
Okay.
That's what it means, chasima l'shma. For the sake of this man divorcing this woman. Like, for example, let's say there's more than one person with this name. They sign the get for this person and not a different guy with this name. Or l'shem gerushin. Maybe they're just practicing. They're just practicing their signatures. Nope, they're just practicing their signatures. I mean, maybe they shouldn't just practice their signatures anyway. It's a dangerous thing to do on actual shtarls. But if they're just practicing their signatures, it's no good. They have to actually intend gerushin. They have to intend this guy. They have to intend this woman.
So that, whatever we mean for ksiva, that's
yes,
what we mean
exactly.
For.
And the mission, the beginning of the third parak says, really, there are three aspects to l'shma. You want to know the lumdus. Are these three aspects really three examples of the same thing or very different things in lumdus? I'm not going to answer that now. It has to be l'shem gerushin. For gerushin, not for practice. It has to be l'shem ha'isha. And not l'shem a different woman, and l'shem ha'ish, and not the same a different man. Okay, now, the...
The katav is singular. And it's referring to katimata get, but by shnei, how does it work out?
Aha, so that is a great question. The simple shot is, the katav means, in any case, it's talking about the husband. Vayam losen zachim be'inav kibatzar eres davar, v'chasav l'asev gris, and obviously he's not signing his own get. So the answer is v'katav probably means v'hichtiv. There's, I think the Mugei Yosef says that before, but I forget on which daf. V'hichtiv, the Mugei Yosef is not printed by the Rif here, but I have a book in my makom. V'hichtiv. Either if according to Rilaz, it means v'hichtiv al yidei sofer, or himself, but most people don't know how to write those days. Even nowadays, most people don't know how to write with all the chumras of how we write Gittin, like the Safras. Or v'hichtiv al yidei edim. Okay, now, just to finish up the loose ends, where Lazar we proved Mida Oraisa thought v'kasav only means ksiva, and even Mida Rabbanan doesn't eat chasima l'shma, he doesn't eat chasima at all. Maybe, but maybe it's for Meir. He thinks Mida Oraisa means chasima, but Mida Rabbanan they extended it to ksiva.
requires kibbutz shvami darbanan. No, not true. Because v'ha'amar of Nachman, Omer hayu Rav Meir, filo metzol ba'ashpa v'chasla v'nasan la kasher. Rav Meir said, Rav Meir didn't say explicitly, but Rav Nachman explicitly had a mesora. That Rav Meir held, even if he finds a get in the garbage, clearly not written l'shma, as long as he has even signed l'shma and gives her, that's okay. Kasher means kasher halacha l'maisa. She can remarry. Kasher even under a rabbanon level. So you see, there's not even sold a rabbanon k'siva shelo l'shma. Which is a very dacha kavnina. Maybe Rav Meir only meant, since it's Omer Hayyur of Meir. Rav Nach says Omer Hayyur of Meir. He's not passing the mice. He's just talking what he thinks on the derisa level. No, Ihachi Omer Hayyur of Meir Torah Bailei. No, Avosha Omer Hayyur of Meir can't be only derisa level. That has to be Allah Lamaisa. If he meant on the derisa level, he would have had to say Omer Hayyur of Meir Dvar Torah. So therefore he means Halacha Lamaisa. So now what do we know so far? Contrary Lazar, unique Siva Lishma. And halacha l'maisa, you don't need chasim l'shma at all. And if you're a mayor, you need chasim l'shma. And halacha l'maisa, you don't need chasim l'shma at all. And then Rav is in trouble. How's Rav going to get out of trouble? We'll have to see a little further. But I want to talk a little about, now that we brought up Rav Meir, you know, if we were starting with the ninth parak, I think in Gush last year, the Lemesech was getting started from the ninth parak. Okay, if we were starting from the ninth parak, we'd hit these sugyas relatively quickly. After all the shear sugyas. We really, in order to understand what's going on in Gittin, really to understand what's going on throughout the first few prakim, we have to understand what's this basis of the machlokas, Rav Meir and Rav Lazar, whether Edi Chasima Karti or Edi Chasima Karti. I'm not going to focus on what our sugyas focusing on, which is the details. Does the word Rekasav mean you need all the technical requirements that are hinted at by the pasuk in Siva or in Chasima? But the more fundamental question of what creates the chalos of a get. So you have machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Lazar, and I want to start with the shita of Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds Eide Chasima Karti. If we recall, let's go back to the end of that base and base. Could have stuck it in there also. Says the last Rashi in the base and base for Abban Hu Datsrichu. Remember, we had a few sheets in the Rishon about this. The Mechush the Milsa. The Rabbanim were worried about Shalom Lishma. Why are they worried about Shalom Lishma? Yishum the Ika the Asha Kosova Omid. There are some people who find, there are some people who might find a get that's already written. Kom Shemichushim Ethan the Yerush Shmo Kishmo Shma Kishma. The Nimlach Milagarish. Maybe there's another guy with the same guy, the same name, the girl, or the wife, the husband, the same name, wife, the same name, and then he decided not to divorce, and he gave it to his friend used it, and it was written for a different couple, Shalom Lishma. What's Tosos' problem with Rashi? Says Tosos, Rabban Huda Atzer, Pepe to Kunshin, the Ikad Ashka, Kosovo, Omikon, Shinichel, Shin Echim, the Eros, Shmo, Kishmo, and Emlach, and the Garish, Vakasha, the Behosa, Shne Yosem, and Shimon. If you really think it's established there are two, Yosem, and Shimon, example, two guys with the same name, in the same town, filo nefil the shma possible garish bo. Then what do you mean we're worried about shalol shma? Even if it's l'shma, it's possible. It's possible whether it's l'shma or shalol l'shma. Why? According to our mayor, kida amina brish kala get, like we say in the beginning of the third parak, kasa l'garish bo sa'dol l'garish bo k'tanim, k'omri mar, k'tanim b'mat l'garish bo l'garish. Mokil k'rush lozov l'o rab mayor, v'shud v'ina shem mochiach mitoch edi chasim ha'im yinayim l'garish. V'samach boi l'okai smich l'garib mayor. On our daf, we're going to say the Mishnah is like Rav Meir, so the Mishnah has to fit Rav Meir because that's the suggestion. And according to Rav Meir, you need what he called Muchiach Mitoch Eide Chasima, or in short, what the Rishonim say all over the Sechet, Muchach Mitocho. The words Muchach Mitocho are not found in Shas. This is a phrase invented by the Rishonim. Tosos, if you learn Gemara with Tosos, you would think it's found in Shas. Say, yeah, Tosos keeps saying Muchach Mitocho, must be in a Gemara someplace, and I forgot where the Gemara said those words. Those words are not found in the Gemara. This is a doctrine invented by Tosos. He says that Rav Meir requires muchach mitocho, meaning the chasima has to prove that this divorce happened. It's not just you need a chasima. The chasima has to prove that the divorce happened. And therefore, what does he say? If there are two couples with the same name, this chasima does not prove that any divorce happened. Because you don't know from the chasima whether this couple was divorced or that couple was divorced, right? You don't know whether Mrs. Goldberg was divorced or Mrs. Schwartz was divorced. We don't put last names in a get. If both of them are named, you know, Rachel Bas Yaakov, and both their husbands are named the Zvulun Ben Dan, then since you don't know who's divorced, it's not Muchach Mitocho, and it is a psul da'oraisa according to our mayor.
Didn't we say the point of the rub that the chesima has to be on the, not necessarily on all, having seen all the pratim, but just on the maisa agerushin, both in Tzari.
So give me a second there. That is okay. Let me think about that as I talk. That's the sheet of this, and Tosfos attacking Rashi. Yes, we have it.
For Elazar, basically, because he seems to say that we don't need Kaseva Lishma, so we say that it must be that you need Kaseva Lishma, right? That's how. Why can't we just say that you need Sira Lishma?
Ah, because the truth is, there might be a happening of Fevavan Beis that you need Mesira Lishma. As a matter of fact, Abaye says to, I forget who he's talking to, you think or Elazar requires Mesina Lishma? That's ridiculous. So it could be that someone might have had a happening to hold that, but why? Even if it's a havmina, why does no one actually hold that? Because the lashon in the Torah is v'chasav la sefer krisos v'nasa biyada. La means lashma, and la is written next to v'chasav and not next to v'nasa.
So either v'chasav.
Yes. So it has to be something that involves writing. Okay. So Tosfos has this doctrine called muchach mitocho. The edim have to prove what happened, and if the edim don't prove what happened, then it's possible according to Rav Meir. And then he used this to attack Rashi and Dafei Zon Beis. So how can Rashi say the Chashash is maybe he took it from somebody else with the same name? Then it's not a Pesul Shul Lishma. Then it's Pesul even if it's Lishma. But funny, Nichol Lishma is not going to help. Even if it is Lishma, it's Pesul. Because it's not Muchach Mitocho according to Rav Meir. And don't say we're not going with Rav Meir without even continuing to Tosfos, because our Gemara thinks we are going according to Rav Meir at a certain stage in the Shakta Vatara. So what's Rashi going to answer to defend himself? So Rashi is Lashitase all over Shas. I think I gave all the cases in the Makor Sheet that Rashi denies the doctrine of Muchach Mitocho. Tosos thinks Eide Hasima Tarsi means there's only Chalos Gerushin if there are signatures that prove the divorce. Rashi denies that doctrine. Rashi says you don't need signatures that prove the divorce. You just need signatures. Eide Hasima, you need signatures. Signatures, it never said the signatures have to prove anything. It just says you need signatures. That's the machlokas being Rashi and Tosfos. Let's just see a few examples of this. So here we have a day. Kasima Karti, the Shikra of Meir, says Tosfos, and he used the magic words Muchach Mitocho. And again, you know, when we were young, we always said, what's Rashi going to do with Muchach Mitocho? So we realized that it never says Muchach Mitocho anywhere in Shas. Tosfos invented it. Rashi never heard those words in his life. Muchach mitocho, meaning the Eide Hasima Shemochichem Shemisgarsha That's what you need. You want to close Gerushin, you have to aid him who proved the divorce. Well, Rashi, he denies Muchach Mitocho, he didn't have to deny, he never heard of Muchach Mitocho. Rashi says, no, you just need Eide Chasima regardless of what they do or don't prove. Now, Joe, don't say what Aaron was saying before yet.
I'm going to ask you a question. Isn't that the same machlok as why you need a Q? I mean,
parallel, yes.
What the most of the guy is serious.
I would say it is parallel. It is parallel.
Maybe that's the machlok?
Could be, although this is a specific one about Gittin.
How does Tosfos understand Rav Nachman's case of the Matzah Bashba? Like, how does he... Remeir.
He founds a get. He finds an unsigned get in the garbage. Then he goes to do Edom and have them sign it.
Okay.
And these Edom are Muchach Mitocho. He finds in the garbage an unsigned get that says, Zvulun ben Dun from Haifa divorced his wife, Rachel Bas Yaakov. There's only one Zvulun ben Dun and one Rachel Bas Yaakov in Haifa. What happened? I don't know. This sofer decided to practice by putting his next door neighbor's name in the get. He finds this in the garbage. Right. Okay. One of these love stories, Ben Shemayim, you know, all of a sudden he finds the garbage that the sofer decided to practice and write his next door neighbor. He notices in the garbage heap outside the sofer's house and says, Taka, that's not a bad idea. You know, she was like, Diach Tavshilo and Matzacher's Naim, and you know, and he divorced his wife, according to Rav Meir, right? He divorced his wife, and the next day he happens to be walking down the street and meets another girl who's, you know, been mefarnes aniyim for many years instead of going on dates and had bitachon in Hashem, and then all of a sudden he meets her on the street and marries her, and they have a son who later has a son, and their grandson goes to yeshiva and becomes one of the Gedolei Hador, Rabbi Meir. Luckily. But it's signed, and it's Muchach Mitocho.
And we know that Rashi is talking about a case that the get was definitely signed.
Yeah, it's all getting a sign. We should take it all
except for the one in Nashba.
Oh, no. It doesn't matter. Meaning, if there are two guys by the same name, then no matter how it was signed, it's possible. It's not Muchach Mitocho. What I'm saying is, in Nachman's case, there aren't two guys by the same name in town. Rashi's case, there are two guys by the same name.
He happened to have found a get in the garbage that didn't belong to anyone.
Exactly. That's why I said the sofer was writing for practice.
Oh, okay. Fine.
That's the difference. Okay, Viter. Now, where do we see this Machlokas Rashi? How do you know that I'm telling you the truth is Machlokas Rashi and Tosos? After all, and Vaz, Rashi says, they told this Akasha on him. We don't know how Rashi would defend himself against Tosos Kasha. Maybe he has some other creative way to defend himself against Tosos Kasha, which I could think of. That's so hard to think of. But we see it in a few places. The main location is Daf Chav Daled Amud Beis. That's Tosos's Mokar. Tosos's Mokar is Daf Chav Daled Amud Beis. So where do we see this Machlokas? Number one, Daf Chav Daled Amud Beis. This is the Mokar of Tosos. Tosos says the whole Sugya of Muach Mitocho starts from this Daf. What does it say in Daf Chav Daled Amud Beis? It says, a guy has two wives by the same name. He married two Rachel Bas Yaakovs. Right? The reminds us of Rashi in Parshas Vayetzeh, right? Rachel he marries two Rachel Bas Yaakovs. If he writes it for the older one, he's not allowed to use it to divorce the younger one because it wasn't Lashma. It was the shame of the other one. Right? So if he writes it for Rachel A, he can't use it to divorce Rachel B because it wasn't Lashma. It was only for Rachel A. He asked the Gemara in the middle, how can he even use it for the right one? Even in one Lashma, how can he use it? After all, we don't know who it belongs to. Amarava, Zoso Mer Shnei Yosef and Shimon Darbe Achel B'tzion Shtarchel Acher. Maybe this proves that if there are two Yosef and Shimons in the same town, they can take out an IOU and make someone pay them. Meaning, maybe this proves that, well, whoever's holding it, that proves it was for her. But how about the earlier case? How about if there are two couples with the same name, and one of them writes it and then gives it to the other one? That's a social shmaz Rashi reference. We know that that's not valid. Okay, what's the answer? Made Masir Rabbi Lazari. What's the upshot of this Gemara? If there are two people with the same name, even if it was Lashma, it's only kosher according to Rabbi Elazar Be'edi Masira. It's possible according to Rabbi Meir. Why is it possible according to Rabbi Meir? Good question, right? Why is it possible according to Rabbi Meir? So says Tosos, you know why it's possible according to Rabbi Meir? Because it's not Muchach Mitocho. Because the Edim don't prove who was divorced. This is supposed to, it's pretty mafurish, right? What does it say in Da'af Dabba Ben Aleph? That if you have the same names and it was Niftah Lashma, if you give it to the other people, that's Lul Lashma, that's for sure possible. But if you give it to the right person, it's Kasher. Why? That's only Quentin Rizmasser. Because you give it in front of Edim Asira, and the Edim Asira see who got it. Hustle. The theater of mayor. It's possible according to a mayor. Why is it possible according to a mayor? So it must be because not Muchach Mitocho. This is the marker of Tosas Muchach Mitocho. As Tosas says, well, a mayor, but Ina, she Muchach Mitocho, Zima, she Nipple, same Zayash, Vaisha, Zo, Volomahani, Ida Messira. According to a mayor, has to be Muchach from the Chasima, who was written for it. And even if you get in front of Ida Messira, it doesn't help because you need the Ida Chasima to be Karti. Okay, so it says Tosos. It's also because It's not muchach mitocho. Okay, what does Rashi think there? So if we look at Rashi, you have to read Rashi carefully. Says Rashi, Hagadola matzi megarish. V'chi mafgatla, he adds one thing. Poso says, it's puzzle. Says Rashi, Hagadola matzi megarish, v'chi mafgale lo chayshina le'isar ishazesh. And when she takes it out, we won't worry about the Itzer zo. And we won't be choshish that maybe it was given to the other wife, and she dropped it, and this wife found it. We'll assume it's hers. He says, what is Rashi adding here? Rashi adding something. When she takes it out later, we won't worry and we'll believe her. What's Rashi hinting at here? I think Rashi's hinting at that he doesn't want to interpret like Tosos. Tosos says, the get is puzzle. And that's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's kasha is happy to match the get. It's not mucha mitocho. But what does Rashi say here? Rashi says here, no, it's not that the Gemara said the get would be puzzle. Of course the Gemara admits the get would be kosher. It's just they said according to Rabbi Meir, the get's not going to be very useful. Because even though it's kosher, it's not going to be useful because a year later when she wants to remarry, she'll take out the get and we'll say, how do we know it's really your get? And so she won't be able to remarry. So it'll be kosher, Kapi Shmai and Galia. Aliyah but the MS, Eliyahu and Navi will know that it's kosher. But it won't be useful for her because she'll get messed up later in life. And the Mishnah implies that it's not only kosher, but it's useful. That's why Rashi has to add something. Hagdolah Matzi Megarish. He doesn't say, how could the Girishin, you be Megarish with this? He says, how could you be Megarish and it be useful for her to take out later? Why does he have to add that into the Gemara? Because he doesn't hold of the concept of... because he doesn't hold the concept of mucha mitocho. And if you read Rashi throughout this sugya, he's consistent. That's what's going on. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says no. It's theoretically kosher. But she will get in trouble later. It's theoretically kosher, but she'll get in trouble later because we won't trust her that she's divorced, and therefore it won't actually be helpful to her in the long run. And then, when the Gemara, it's interesting, what is the Gemara's answer? According to Tosfos, the Gemara answers, Rabbi Elazar ve'idim isirahi. This is before show, we've shown him there. The Gemara answers, you know when it's kosher? According to Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar doesn't require mucham ketoch or anything. According to Rashi, the answer is, Rabbi Elazar ve'idim isirahi. It's according to Rabbi Elazar where you give Eidim Isira. Truth is, according to Rabbi Meir, it would also be okay with Eidim Isira. Because it's theoretically okay, she just needs to be able to prove it later. She brings Eidim Isira, that's good enough. Okay, that really flows into, this is the exact same thing, you know, Daf Beis Amud Beis, right? Here, said Tosos, the exact same thing, said Tosos, that if there are two Yosef and Shimon, then it's possible, even if it was Nechtav Lishma. This is not a new machlokas. This is the same machlokas in another sugya. Well, Rashi says, no, it's only possible if it was written Shelo Lishma. When it was written Lishma, it's no problem. Why? Because Rashi doesn't require Mukhm and Toko. Now, Rashi might say, Rashi might say, you know what? If there are two Yosef and Shimon in that town, even Lishma, later on she's going to be in trouble and have to find other evidence that, you know, it's from the right husband. Okay, but it's still going to be a kosher get. She'll just have to beef it up with other evidence at some point. And you know what? In the end, it'll really be okay because we'll trust this one aid that was from the real Baal, for the real Isha, etc. So, yes?
According to the Tosfos, I'm assuming that this Tosfos is Rabbi Mitan also. According to Rabbi Mitan, that even Rabbi Meir needs anything to see her. So you couldn't have, nobody ever thought that it could ever prove anything.
Correct. According to Rabbi Mitan, you have no choice. Correct. Now, Tosos points out in Daf Kaf Daled Amud Beis that there's one sugya that really sounds against Tosos. There's one sugya that the Mukher Mukhmi Tocho, that's Tosos. He says, Pshan in the sugya, he's right. Pshan in the sugya of Daf Kaf Daled is that you need Mukhmi Tocho. So it says, what do you mean? How could you divorce? Oh, according to Rabbi Elazar, you can divorce. According to Rabbi Meir, you can't. Really sounds like according to Rabbi Meir, you can't divorce. It's just puzzle. And Rashi has to reinterpret this Gemara and say, it doesn't mean you can't divorce according to her mayor. It just means she'll have a problem later on.
But Tosafot points out that the Gemara Daf Yom Beis, it sounds like the opposite. What's that case? Two people sent two shluchim from Medina Sayyam and have the same names, and the wife have the same names, and the two shluchim mixed up the gittin. So we're not sure which is for, you know, there's two Zvulim and Dans divorced to Rachel Bas Yaakov's, but we're not sure which is Mrs. Goldberg yet and which is Mrs. Schwartz's get. So what do? Oh, they each give each get to each woman, and then Mimonav Shach, they're all divorced. They're both divorced, right? One Shliach gives both get to this woman, to Mrs. Goldberg, the other Shliach gives both get to Mrs. Schwartz, and Mimonav Shach, they're both divorced. So the and it says there, Amar Birmia, and Ahami says that's not like Rabbi Elazar. Not like Rabbi Elazar, must be like Rabbi Meir. So in the end they say it could be Rabbi Elazar, but clearly they're assuming it works for a mayor. How does it work for a mayor? If there's two Zvulim and Dan, the two Rachel and Yaakov is not Muzum Mitocho. How can it work for a mayor? It sounds the exact opposite of Daf of Dalin and Beis. So what about this is Tosus's. This is the Machmor of Tosus Shita Muzum Mitocho. But there's a Gemara that seems to say the exact opposite. Hey, Vav and Beis says that if there are two identical gittin, is kosher the fear of mayor. Doesn't say the word kosher fear of mayor, but clearly Rav Yirmi says this is not like a real other, it's like Rav Meir. So doesn't this prove Yomi Mucham Mitocho? And how will she prove she's divorced afterwards? She'll bring the two Edom who were there that day, but she got both gittin, and they can testify that Rav Meir she was divorced. This is the Machmor for the Rishonim. Rashi doesn't say it's a later Rishonim. Makar for Rishonim who disagree with Tosos. And you can't say agree with Rashi. This is a pshat in the Gemara. Is that Yomi Mucham Mitocho? Just give her both get me a Manashah, and then no problem Mucham Mitocho. What does Tosos say? So Tosos says, no problem. Tosos has to make a chiddush in that Gemara. My re could appreciate could a brashina the elk she cost mudoros o simon o kohen she nikkur mitoch asima the eidim asira ein makir o simon o simon akasa. No, that doesn't mean that the two gittin were identical. The two gittin said grandfathers. One was Zvulun ben Dan ben David, and the other was Zvulun ben Dan ben Yishai. Or one was Zvulun ben Dan HaKohen, one was Zvulun ben Dan HaLevi. Or one was Zvulun ben Dan with six fingers on each hand, and one was Zvulun ben Dan with five fingers on each hand, the simon. There were, so why didn't they know whose get was whose? Because the eight, the shluchim who came from Medina Zayam, didn't know which grandfather was which. They didn't know which was Zvulun ben Dan ben Yishai and which was Zvulun ben Dan ben Dan. They didn't know the guy's grandfather. They didn't know which Zvulun ben Dan was a Kohen, which one was a Levi. Or they didn't even know, okay, maybe six fingers they would know, maybe there's some more subtle simon. They didn't know which Zvulun ben Dan, you know, had a big birthmark on his elbow and which one didn't, right? So, says Tosfos, no problem. And so he just makes an okinta that the get contained, let's say the grandfather's name. So we'll just give the first example. Right, okay, that's called Doros. Yeah, the get of the grandfather's name, then was Muchach Mitocho. If you have the get that says Vul Medam and David, then it's Muchach and Mrs. Goldberg. They divorced Mrs. Goldberg. If you have the get that says Vul Medam and Yishai, it's Muchach. They divorced Mrs. Schwartz. Right now, we happen to have lost track of that. But that's called Muchach Mitocho, because if you went to check, there would be Muchach Mitocho.
Are the shluchim necessarily coming from the same place?
Yes, because otherwise it would be different. It always has to say the place where they live. Since it has to say the place where they live, that would differentiate them, make it double. There's a mission later on that says you have to write Shem Yiro.
It also sort of sets up an ironic kind of situation by Rav Meir. On one hand, you don't need to see the Lishma. On the other hand, the content of the Gale test defines clearly everything that happened.
That doesn't bother me at all. Because the reason... Yes, but not even anything funny. It's not that the Ksiva Saget has to describe everything that happened 100% accurately. That's what it looks like in a practical perspective. But that's not, I'll be conceptually saying.
the chasimas haget has to be on words that describe everything 100%. But it's in the chasima. The chasima is just the hesher for the chasima.
Tell the chef, just ask either of the wives, you know, is this your grandfather?
No, it's not their grandfather, it's their grandfather-in-law. But still, why don't they just ask them whose grandfather-in-law is named who? It's a good question. You know what? I'll just make it a kip that they don't know. No, no, he's saying according to Tosos Okimta that says the grandfather is Mucha Mitocho, so why do they have to give both to both? Because the Shluchim don't know which is which. Why not ask the women? Because the women don't know. They don't know if the husband and the Kohen are related. Well, maybe they don't. You know, you never know. They don't know the Simon on their husband. Maybe they don't. After all, they're far away. Before we know, they never met this guy. Right? Who says they ever met him? Ishmetadish Bo Shlucho, as the song says. So here we see, basically, Rashi and Tosfos clear agendas throughout Shas. I'm not even saying a chiddush. It's so obvious. You go throughout Shas, Rashi and Tosfos have clear agendas. Where else do we see these clear agendas of Rashi and Tosfos? So, for example, on Daf Chafes. What did it say in Daf Chafes? Let's turn for a moment. If you look in the Mishnah, Daf Chaf Aleph on the Bays, the Mishnah says, Yehuda ben Seir Omer, in the middle of the Mishnah, Ein kosum lo niyar mochef lo ladifterim, neishu yachol is daif, hachamim machshirin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seir says, you cannot write on erased paper or untreated hides, because it's yachol is daif. Meaning, imagine. Let's say I take a fresh piece of paper and I write a shtar on it. And I give you the shtar and it's signed. What if you just erase some of the writing and write something else? Like, for example, I give Morty a shtar that says I borrowed 1,000 shekel from him. He erases 1,000 and writes a million. Why won't he get away with that? Because you could see that it was erased. Meaning, I don't write it in pencil. That would be very dumb. No, I write it in pen. I write it in permanent ink. Of course, you could scratch off and erase it and rewrite something, but you will see that someone scratched it off and rewrote it. And when you bring that shtar into court, they will throw it in the garbage. But what if I take, what if I'm very cheap, and I recycle? Not very cheap. Right? Didn't the UN say we have to recycle? I recycle. So I have an old piece of paper. I erase the whole thing, and I write the shtar on it. That shtar is puzzle. That's called Yachol is Dayif. Why? Because Morty could easily erase 1,000 and write a million, and no one could possibly notice, because it was all erased anyway. And he could also change the name on the first. He could write anything he wants, right? Just get two agents to sign it, erase the whole thing, write whatever he wants in his whole, whatever he possibly imagines. So that's obviously possible as Yachol is Daif. They'll throw that in court right away. So likewise, they get is Yachol. That's Yachol is Daif as possible. The Chachamim Machshirim. Who are the Chachamim? Bottom Chafez and Aleph Machom Amar Yol. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, the Amora Rabbi Eliezer, says that Rabbi Eliezer, he's the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, Dharma Edim Asira Karsi. If Edim Asira Karti, then that makes sense that it's kosher. Why? Because the Edim Asira saw, they read the get, they saw I wrote it, they saw Ambi, they saw my wife is my wife, they saw exactly what happens. Who cares whether you can prove anything with it later? Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require proving anything with it later, right? He says you don't need, you throw it in the garbage afterwards. The Edim Asira you rely on. But obviously, what's the deal? But according to Rabbi Meir, he's Rabbi Yehuda ben Seir Shita. Rabbi Meir holds this puzzle because Yachol is Daif. Why does Rabbi Meir hold this puzzle? Because it is Yachol is Daif. So, if you look, for example, at Rashi, says Rashi, in Daf Chafes Amud Beis in the seventh line, Avalu Rav Meir de Omer Lo Be'in in Eidim Asira. Notice already, he doesn't say Rav Meir requires Eidim Chasima. He says Rav Meir doesn't have Eidim Asira. He allowed to, he just usually doesn't. Right? You're allowed to bring up Eidim Asira. But what's the problem? You can worry that it might be forged. Demand the Samech Eidim Chasima. Isha habali nase beget in reveal funenu in ma khasumen bo im yesh ma kir ma khasimasa mil yesh no ze yato likely yada. We should worry there might be a ziyaf. Why? Because whoever relies on eidim chasima, like Rav Meir, a woman comes to a get, and if she can prove the signature authentic, she will bring the eidim chasima into court, And you won't interrogate the Edom or Chasumim Bo. You'll just rely on the signatures. The problem is there may have been a tanya in the get, meaning you can't change 1,000 to 1,000,000 in the get, there's no numbers, but there may have been a tanya in the get. Maybe the guy really said, I am hereby divorcing you if I go away and don't come back within a year. And she just erased that part and said, I'm divorced now. And then you have a whole problem, Ishish, and I'm Zerus, and et cetera, et cetera. Right? So we have to worry about Ziyuf because she's going to rely on this get without bringing the Edom into court. What does Rashi imply here? And well, everyone reads the implication of Rashi. What if she did bring the Edom into court? What does it sound like? Sound like that would be okay. Meaning Rashi's saying the same thing, pulling the same trick here. He pulled the Nafkav Dalet. He says, the Gemara does mean according to Rav Meir, it's batal and mevutal, lo shrir and lo kayamim, and it was never a get. Just that according to Rav Meir, it's going to be hard to know afterwards what happened, and we might get confused afterwards what happened, because they might rely on the signatures when they're not really valid. What the implication is, but if you could actually prove what it said at the time, it would be okay. So let's just put this on the board. Tosfos and Rashi, Daf Chaf Beis, Amad Beis, Aleph, really hard to tell, let's say Chaf Beis and Beis, right? Get Sheyachol his diet, right? Technically, it's written on a surface that's Yachol is Dayif. A forgeable get. So says Rashi. Rashi certainly sounds like, if you can prove what it said, then it's valid. Meaning, he says, the woman's not going to bring the original Edom in to prove what it said. If you could prove what it said, it would be valid. Right? If you were mayor. If you could prove what it said is valid, what's the problem? The problem is that she might fool us by forging it and not bringing the original Edom. And if you could prove what it said valid, but you can't later rely on the signatures. You can't later rely on the signatures, but if you can prove what it said, that's valid. What is Tosos objecting on Amud Aleph at the end of the Rest of Man? He says, where is the quote lesson of Kuntras? Aval Masher Pierce for Kuntras Dor Meir Isha Volinasa Vigeta Kosval Dor Shechos Dive and Trit Adam Asira, the Adam Asum Boinu Vil Fanenu, Emish Makir Hasimasa, the Havma Time is after Lake Lyoda, Mashva. What does it sound like from Rasha? The Havi Sadi Kamana Kosher. If we could bring the witnesses in, and they say, this is exactly what it said at the time. We know we saw it in Nimsar, we saw it in Nechtam and Nechtam. We can testify that she was divorced. That would be valid. Even though it's obviously not Muchach Mitocho. The Efshar Lomer King. That's impossible. Dor Meir being Shem Muchach Mitocho. The Mashar Ish Kol Agat. His Mokar is Chavdal. Dor Meir regards Muchach Mitocho. Dor Shem Chol Daiv and Muchach Mitocho Klom. Says, Tosfos, it is Pasol Legamrei. Because it's not Muchach Mitocho. Okay, they're the same exact machlokas all over the place. Tosfos says, whenever the signatures are not a valid proof of anything, when the signatures don't prove everything, then she's never divorced. It's not Muchach Mitocho. Rashi, she is divorced. Just we have to be careful how to prove it later. She might not be able to prove it later, or she might be able to fool us into proving the wrong thing later, but she is divorced. Where else does machlokas come up? In Subas Daf Tzadi Dalet. Here it's a little more complex. That's the famous machlokes, Rav Shmuel, I believe, about Shnei Shtaros Hayotzim Yom Echad. There are two shtaros the same day. Let's say, for example, I wrote a shtar. Okay, I'm not going to come up looking very good here. I wrote a shtar saying, Chaf Vav Elul Tav Shanayin Tes. I sold my house to Irv. Comes with a shtar, and Jake comes with the same shtar. Chaf Vav Elul Tav Shanayin Tes. I sold my house to Jake. So obviously, well, seemingly, one of them I sold my house, and the other one, as we say in the old country, I sold them the Brooklyn Bridge, right? So who gets the house? So the Gemara in Ksubas brings Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, what to do in such a case. Whether you say Shuda D'Daini, or whether you say Yachloku. Rav says they split the house, and Shmuel says the judge uses his discretion to decide who gets the house. Okay, it's the whole sugi, exactly what he means, not for us now. Lame, the Gemara suggests, Rav Dom Makarov Meir, Dom Eidi Chasim Akarsi, Shmuel Dom Makarov Lozor, Eidi Chasim Akarsi. What does the Gemara suggest? And the Gemara doesn't really reject this direction. It says, it depends. If it's Rav Meir, then you're going to say Yachloku. If it's Rav Lozor, you're going to say Shuda Daimi. Meaning, if it's Rav Lozor, you're going to say one of them gets the house. Pick who. If it's Rav Meir, you're going to say they both get the house. Why, according to Rav Meir, you think they both get the house? Now, the next line where it says, no, it could be, it's not that we think they both get the house. It's that since we're not sure we split it. But that doesn't mean we think they both get the house. So why? Let's go to Ksubos. Ksubos. Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph Tamud Beis. It goes over the border here. Right? Lefi Rabbi Meir Yachloku. What's the case? Shnei Shtaros V'yom Echad. Right, with the same date. Why, according to Meir, is it Yachloku? So it says Tosfos here. Why is it Yachloku, according to Meir? He says, listen, payment to Ikaru Ashtar. We talk Edom Achsum Bishtar in Nikar Shekotim Kinyonel Zel Kinyonel Zeh. Since the Edom don't prove that Irv bought it first or Jake bought it first, right? The Edom don't prove who bought it first. Helka Konum Shneim Bavas Achas. Afilu Nechta V'Nechta V'Nimsar Le'echad Tchila V'Echar Nechta V'Nimsar Le'Sheini. Therefore, even if I first wrote and signed and gave it to Irv, and then I wrote and signed and gave it to Jake. So clearly we think Irv wins and Jake bought the broken bridge. No, they both acquired simultaneously. Even if the Edom Asir can tell us who wrote it first. No, Carter Meir, Lochash, the Edom Asir Eker, the Edom Asir don't count. Vachi Mucha Begitten, and now he quotes the Tzugya Dafchav Dalet of Mucha Mitocho. Right? He says in Gittin that, etc., etc. I'm just going to skip a little. And he says, just like with the two people the same name, even if the Edom Asira say who it was, it doesn't matter, because the Edom Chasima don't prove it. Likewise, even if we know who got it first, it's not who got the shtar that makes you Komeh. It's what the Edom proved that made it Komeh. Did the Edom prove Irv got it, or did the Edom prove that Jake got it? The answer is both. The Edom proved that they both equally bought the field because the Edom don't say who, what hour of the day. They just say which day. And therefore, it's as if, what if I wrote them a shtar at the same time and gave it to them? They would each get half the field. So says Tosos, Yachloku Alpi Lomdus. Why? Since it's not Muchach Mitoch Eide Chasima who was first. Therefore, by the rule of Muchach Mitocho, they're Kona simultaneously. As a matter of fact, what some of the Rishonim explained to us meant that through the rule of Muchach Mitocho, they're both Kona at the last minute of the day. Because the Eden don't prove they're Kona until the last minute of the day, so they both Kona simultaneously. What does Rashi do here? You have to paint. You can only understand these Rashis if you read Tosos first. Says Rashi, since the Eide Chasima are the Iker and the Eide Chasima don't say what time, it's a Gilul Das. They've shown that they don't care who is first or last on this day. From the fact that they know Eide Chasima are Iker and they don't write what hour it was, that shows they don't care about the hours, they only care about the days. Okay, why does Rashi have to add Golub Datayu? They revealed in their minds. I think as Rashi thinks, Alpilondas, you don't need Muchach Mitocho. Alpilondas, you just need Edi Chasima. So, who cares whether it proves you were first or not? If I gave it to you first and you had Edi Chasima, that's good enough. You don't need Muchach Mitocho. If you don't need Muchach Mitocho, what's the more saying? Golub Datayu, no, since they know the Edi Chasima are Iker, and therefore, they've shown that they are willing to be mevater psychologically and count the whole day as one. But I think that's Rashi's very meduyak. What does Rashi add? He adds galdu datayu, meaning it's not alpilundus. Not alpilundus, but alpi omdenas das bnei adam. That they that they are not, as Rashi says, right? They are not makbid. What's Rashi's lashon again? Alakodu makabero. They're not makbid alakodu makabero. So Rashi sounds a little strange. Why does Rashi have to say, like, Golub to tell you they're not makbid? Maybe they are makbid. Okay, because Rashi didn't want to say like Tosos. Tosos had a good explanation. Why should they split the field if Irv got it first? The answer is it doesn't matter who got it first. It matters who's Muchach Mitocho they got it first. And it's Muchach Mitocho they got it simultaneously. Rashi doesn't believe in Muchach Mitocho. He just thinks Eidah Chasim means you need Eidim. You need Eidim, you have Eidim. Irv got it first. Of course Irv gets the field, because by the time I sold it to Jacob, it wasn't mine to sell. So Rashi has to say, no, he has to throw in a Golub Datayu. No, it doesn't literally mean, other Rishonim, by the way, have other ways of getting out of this. It doesn't literally, it's not that theoretically they should split the field. Really, Irv should get the field. But since, according to our mayor, you use Eidei Chasima, and they all knew the Eidei Chasima didn't have which hour it was, and they were all okay with that, that means that it's under, they're Mevata, they're Mochel. I'm Mochel on which hour it is. I'm not going to assume any rights based on which hour I bought it. So therefore, they agreed to be Mochel to split the field.
Does that mean it takes place, the transaction is at the end of the day? Kinds of implications.
Correct. So my impression is for Tosfos, the Rishonim assume the transaction takes place at the end of the day. For Rashi, it's not clear. It could very well be that it's not that the transaction takes place right away, just b'tznai that they leave room for that if he sells it to someone else, they're mevater. But I'm not sure. It's a good question. Okay. I see our time is up. We haven't even got through all the sugyas. We haven't done the analyze the lundus. But you'll have to remember what we talked about. Next Monday is Rosh Hashanah. So there's no shir. Today's Thursday, right? Effie, Thursday?
Today's Thursday, yeah.
So next Thursday, we'll have two more shirim this month, Thursday and Monday of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And then the next year will be the Monday a week after Shemini Atzeres. So next Thursday, Amir Tzashem, we will continue. And I just want to write, when you finish the course on this sheet, I want you to look at some other Rishonim and compare them to Rashi and Tosos. So who do I want you to compare?
Monday or Thursday?
What?
You said there's no Shir Thursday after Shmini?
There's no Shir Thursday after Shmini Atzeres. I'm sorry. Yes. The Ramban. Bir Ritva. Daf Chav Dalad on the Bays. Giver Hamasfil. Ella. Mai. Itlach Lameimar. The Ritva. On Daf of Days of an Aleph, Giver Masel Man Chachamim, the Ramban in Kiddushe, Daf Tes of an Aleph, Giver Masel O Al Hacheres. I want you to compare them to Rashi and Tosfos, and then compare them to the Achronim we quoted at the end of the sheet. Then I'll set up more for Hashem later. And I'd like to wish everyone a Ksivach Tzimah.